For the past 2 weeks, a group of youth from All Souls and adults from All Souls spent time with a couple other Episcopal churches from the East Bay and immersed ourselves in life, common life, at the Bishop's Ranch and then a little at St. Dorothy's and then at McCarriker State Park. And as part of that, we camped on a part of the property at the ranch, and then each day hiked about a mile and a half up to a part of the ranch that's known as the 100-acre wood. The ranch had asked us if we would set up a remote camping site there with tent pads, a space for a water tower, and a few other things. And so the first day that we were set to go there, we hiked up a road that had been put in by a utility company, and the grade of the road was like this. And so one of the tasks that we were asked to do was to blaze a trail from this remote campsite down the hills to connect with a part of the trail system the ranch had already created. And so this first day, a group of youth were cutting into the hillside, and then another group was starting the work on the trenching, and a group that I was with headed down into the poison oak to begin the cutting of the trail. And I realized as we were starting that I was walking really slowly because we were on a pretty good hill, and so the slope didn't make for easy going. And there were roots of oak trees gnarled throughout, and there was poison oak many places, and it made for a really slow trip because I was watching every single step as I was going. And I realized that while this was beautiful, it was really hard to walk this way in the wilderness. And so today, to share their experiences in light of our readings for this Sunday, I would like to invite forward Julia Cook, Davis Feely, Lucy Sims, and Riley Cook. Julia.
This year, our immersion trip theme was named Away in the Wilderness. This could mean away, as in gone, or away meaning the way to be or to find a way as a Christian. We camped out in tents for 10 days, beginning, and for the most part of our trip, at the Bishop's Ranch where we'd be doing our service. Almost 2 miles away from our campsite, and up several grueling hills laden with poison oak and bugs, and in the blasting sunlight was the area in which we were told we needed to build a campsite for visitors of the ranch. This campsite that was literally on top of a hill and on a harsh slope was to be complete with 7 tent areas, a large water tank with running water going to faucets, and free of any trip hazards such as roots sticking out of the ground and rocks, and also the trail going up the hill to the campsite. All in all, it was quite a large task for a relatively small group of people. Before the trip began, I spent a long time questioning whether or not going on this trip would be worth it. I had a mountain of homework, I had cross-country practice to go to, I hadn't seen my friends for a while, and most of all, I didn't believe that this immersion trip would be the awesome experience that I had had last year. I had been to the Bishop's Ranch many times before, so my excitement about going to a new place was down the drain. It did not help when I found out that the group this year was much smaller than last year's, less than half the number of youth that came last summer. Perhaps other people were dropping out like I was because they knew it would not be a fulfilling and worthwhile experience. Would the smaller amount of people also have an effect on the fun of the trip? I also did not feel like building a campsite would have the same effect on me as working with the Lakota last year and doing service for people who really needed it. A campsite, in my mind at the time, was not really a life-changing project. Indeed, even this year, the Lakota originally were planning to come, but due to a series of unfortunate events, were unable to make it. This added to my disappointment and my apprehensive attitude towards the upcoming trip. After looking back on the work we did and how we grew so close together as a group, I realized that I was completely wrong about my initial outlook on the trip. The reading from Ephesians begins with, "So then, putting away all falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another." If you were to ask me, I would say that members of one another means that we are all one no matter who we are or where we come from. I found that this year, more than the previous summer, the youth from these several churches became close and trusting each other by the second day. Our small group grew closer as a community throughout all our time working hard to flatten the hillside for tent spaces and dig trenches for the state-of-the-art water system, as well as the hours spent relaxing by the fire, playing card games, and having late-night conversations underneath the stars. If this doesn't scream unity, I don't know what does. I said earlier that I didn't believe that my experience is going to have as much of an impact on me because the people we are going to help were not going to be in the sort of situation that the Lakota we worked with last year were in. The people going to the ranch, we can assume, probably have money to spare to take a vacation. They probably have a tent and supplies and probably live a relatively comfortable life. Before the trip, if I heard the words in need, I would immediately jump to the idea that the subject was poor. In the reading from Ephesians, it says, "Let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy." Our little group worked together for a week to build a campsite for mystery people from who knows where. All that we knew about them is that they came to the Bishop's Ranch to have time to relax and enjoy themselves. Perhaps these people are in need of something different than money. Perhaps they are in need of rest, relaxation, and time to get away from their busy lives. In a way, the fact that they came to the Bishop's Ranch like we did makes them a part of us as well. Being away in the wilderness for a while can bring people together and help one to find themselves and have a fulfilling experience that may impact them for the rest of their lives. I know that I will keep all the memories and experiences I have had on this past immersion trip in the burrows of my mind for a very long time. At the end of the reading, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." To simply come on the immersion trip and do service for another is exactly what we are called to do. The community, love, and support built on this trip was worth more than any exciting out-of-state trip, and these things are just about what living in love is all about.
Today's reading from Ephesians talks a lot about community. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. On this year's immersion trip, I learned a lot about community. I learned about how everyone is a part of many different communities in their lives, and about how everyone in each of those communities serves a different but equally important purpose, whether it be keeping everyone positive or being a leader. One of the communities I was a part of within the entire group was my four-person canoe team on the Russian River. The person in the front was responsible for speed, and the person in the back for turning. Although the two in the middle had no oars, they were just as important in that it was their job to encourage the two with oars. The immersion trip group as a whole felt particularly tight. I sensed this most of all on the work site at the Bishop's Ranch because everyone was working together and very open to helpful criticism, which created a very positive atmosphere. And at Macarico State Park, because there was no more work to do and things were really starting to wind down, which made room for a lot of bonding and reflection of the past week. On the last night at Macarico State Park, everyone was seated around the campfire. We went around the circle, and everyone talked about how great it was that a group of people so different could come together and get so close in 10 days. Everyone had their own stories to tell and examples to give. In that moment, I felt that I really understood what the Bible means when it says we are members of one another.
Last fall, when the other youth and I first heard that our immersion trip would be to the Bishop's Ranch rather than South Dakota, it would be a lie to say that some of us weren't just a little bit disappointed. We were still incredibly excited to go, of course, but doing volunteer work in Sonoma County somehow just didn't seem quite as impactful as the work we had done last year, thousands of miles away in one of the poorest places in the U.S. Not only was our destination quite different from last year, but our group itself was drastically smaller. Only 17 youth from 3 churches were there, as opposed to last year's group of near 40. I was unsure as to how this, too, would change our experience. This doubt grew even more when we found out the day we were to leave that the Lakota youth wouldn't be able to join us this year. At this piece of news, I really began to wonder what exactly this trip was going to become. Without them, it would no doubt be a very different experience. Some part of me imagined that it would be a less meaningful one, and in all honesty, at that moment, I was completely unsure of what our purpose was. I soon found out that I definitely wasn't the only one with these doubts and concerns. When I arrived at our campsite, a lot of youth thought that the smaller scale of the trip and the unexpected changes from last year was going to make our experience much less significant. But this idea couldn't have been more wrong. Our first day of work was, for me, surprising. Our task was making a new remote campsite at the Bishop's Ranch. Upon arriving, I was placed in the group charged with hacking out a new trail up to the site. That first day, I ended up having a lot of fun playing word games with my group and getting to know the volunteers and workers from the ranch who were helping us. I was unaware of it at the time, but there was already a sense of community that I wasn't used to building up in our group. This feeling was present not only at the work site, but at our campsite as well. The smaller group actually allowed all 10 girls to squeeze into one tent and get to know each other well through late-night talks, games, music, and yoga to stretch out our sore muscles. Often it was similar to a giant sleepover. Today's gospel begins with Jesus stating, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Last Sunday, in one of my small group's discussions, we talked a lot about what Jesus really meant by bread of life. Bread, of course, in its literal sense, is used to feed people, but when Jesus says that whoever comes to me will never be hungry, he isn't just talking about physical hunger. He's referring to something deeper, and we spent some time discussing what it could be. Hunger for community, companionship, love, and forgiveness were some possibilities we tossed around. This is the concept that made me begin to realize what our purpose really was and what our trip had become. There are many kinds of hunger in the world and so many mouths to feed. This time, we weren't in South Dakota and weren't necessarily feeding the same kind of hunger as we had last year, but we were still working on something else. A new, unexpected kind of need, one much closer to home and one that is equally important. We were working on feeding and helping those who use the Bishop's Ranch and St. Dorothy's Rest as a place of respite and peace, trying to make our work sites places where people could find a way in the literal and figurative wilderness. Furthermore, we were building up relationships and community with the people we worked with. One AmeriCorps volunteer who helped us all week visited our campsite the night before we left and told us that we were one of his highlights of his time at the ranch. I was surprised and very happy that we had, in fact, made this unexpected impact on somebody's life. While these were big realizations and big accomplishments for our group, it took me until the end of the trip to really understand what our work's biggest effect was. The theme for our trip was away in the wilderness, be it the remote campsites and forests we spent time at, or in the hardships we encounter in our own lives. And last week, I discovered that my way, both in the literal and metaphorical wilderness, is the incredible and unexpected amount of love, generosity, and companionship that I found in everyone around me and in every member of our group. The last night of our stay, I became very suddenly and very intensely aware of what exactly I had been experiencing all week and what the trip had created for me. A kind of community and love that I really don't think I've ever experienced before. This week's reading from Ephesians gives us some truly beautiful ways to live in community with one another. Paul writes that we are members of one another, connected so deeply that we are inseparable and essential parts of each other's lives. He writes that while there is room for justified anger in this bond, there certainly isn't any for lies and falsehood. This is what can damage any community and make room for the devil. We are instructed to speak only words that are constructive, that build each other up and give each other grace. What 2012's immersion trip has taught me is that this is how we are to live in community with others and how we are to navigate the uncertain times with which we are confronted. By supporting one another and feeding each other's hungers for grace and community, by being truthful, forgiving, and loving in our connection to those around us, and in return, receiving the same, allowing us to avoid getting lost in what might seem like an impossible or endless wilderness. The week and a half we spent with each other gave me the opportunity to experience this kind of bond in a way that I never have before. And it showed me that God has already given us a path through the wilderness that we can find in ourselves and one another. I am extremely grateful to all those who have helped me this week to begin to understand that whatever those wildernesses are, be they uncertainty, fear, grief, hopelessness, or loneliness, that we never have any need to face them alone.
So to start off my sermon, I have an extra Old Testament reading from 1 Kings. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, to take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. We spent 10 days away in the wilderness. This wilderness that we escaped to was outside the bishop's ranch. We took our heavy, troublesome urban life to this place consisting of poison oak, mosquitoes, lots of dirt, and heat. There was one point in our trip where we were all instructed to sit alone in this wilderness to meditate for a good 20 minutes. It was a bit like Elijah sitting under this solitary broom tree. At that point, I was fatigued and sunburned and irritable after the long, dirty day. I came to this mossy tree and sat on one of its branches, and I settled in. It is amazing how much more aware I had become after a few minutes. I could feel the soft bark under me, and I could see the little particles of dirt below me, and I could savor each breath I took of the air floating around me, and I could hear the birds conversing. I could pick up the familiar smell of bay leaves, and I kept track of a banana slug making its slow trek across some rocks. I really love to just watch things exist. It was a breath of fresh air and a really rewarding 20 minutes. It was almost as rewarding as if I had miraculously received a cake and a jar of water. I knew, after those 20 minutes, that people really are meant to spend more time in the wilderness. We humans need time to unwind and find our way. Elijah was burned out and unhappy after fleeing from Jezebel, and he probably never would have made it to Horeb, the Mount of God, his destination, had he not rested and restored his strength and confidence under that tree. He found his way because he was in the wilderness. The angel that visited Elijah in the Old Testament reading told him, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." The journey through life would be too much for us without taking time to find a way in the wilderness. Any kind of wilderness, be it the literal outdoors or the wild troubles of our normal lives. The wilderness outside the bishop's ranch is a great place for this kind of respite. And I realize now the importance of the work we did. At first, I considered clearing forests of debris and building campsites, trails, and water systems for people living much more comfortably than the Lakota of South Dakota to be not quite as noble as last year's trip. But I realize now that our work had a great purpose. During a small group discussion, we considered what Jesus said in the reading from John. And I remember our group leader asking us, "How can we be the bread of life to others?" I remember saying that as imperfect humans, well, we can't. But that is where the saying, "Therefore, be imitators of God," from Ephesians comes in. Well, I would say that we can't be the bread of life. We can act like we are the bread of life. The reading says that we should imitate God. We should imitate the sustaining bread of life. And I think during our trip, we aim to be these imitators by enhancing the Bishop's Ranch and St. Dorothy's Rest, making it possible for visitors from all around to come rest and camp in a beautiful wilderness and find their way. I think that somewhat measures up to last year's work. In addition, this small group of 17 teenagers really got to know, support, and have fun with one another and the various friends and volunteers we met along the way. It was a refreshing and rewarding experience.
A few weeks ago, I was hiking in Tilden Park, and I found myself walking the trail, and I was looking out at the view across this valley, and I was listening to a woodpecker, and I was able to walk because the path had been laid out. What we experienced these last few weeks, I think, was that when the way is created before you, in the case of Tilden Park, it was cut out, the roots were removed, the poison oak was taken out, it avoided the dangerous slope, it crossed a creek with a bridge. We are free then to be able to experience and to give to the environment around us. We are not walking so slowly as to be careful for each step because the way has been trod. In the same way with Ephesians and with our gospel reading today, we can see that the path, the way in the wilderness is before us. It has been walked by thousands and thousands and thousands of people before us. And just as our youth and adults this past week experienced, if we allow ourselves to walk in this way, the world around us and the people with us open up to us in ways that we never might have imagined. Thanks be to God.